This is Talk of the Nation Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow. A bit later in the hour, the Exxon Valdez oil spill and the EU ruling against Microsoft. But first, this week, the scientists studying Mars through the eyes and the instruments of the rover Opportunity announced that not only had the robot discovered evidence of Mars' once wet past, they believe that the rover could be sitting on what was once the shoreline of a salty sea. For the details on this really dead sea is Steve Squires. He's the principal investigator for the science payload on the Mars rover mission. He's also a professor of astronomy at Cornell. He joined us from the Jet Propulsion Laboratory in Pasadena. Welcome back to the program, Dr. Squires.
Hi, it's nice to be here.
Tell us, how do you know that there was a sea, as you call it, sitting there?
Well, what we found as we began to look at this marvelous outcrop of, you know, finely layered bedrock at Eagle Crater, as we call it, at the Opportunity landing site, is layers that show the distinctive patterns that are formed when you get water ripples being developed. If you have a body of liquid water and it's flowing along, it can create ripples on the bottom. Mm-hmm. And they are distinctive in their appearance. They don't look like the things that are formed by wind. In fact, they don't look like things that are formed by any other process. And we began a little while ago, in fact, several weeks ago, to see from a distance. These are very small features. They're only a few inches in size. And from a distance, we thought we were seeing these. And so very laboriously, over a period of a couple of weeks, we went up to several places where we saw them, and we took our microscopic imager, and we sort of did big surveys, taking literally hundreds of images with our microscopic imager and mosaicing them together to show these features. And indeed, they do show the distinctive form of water ripples.
And how deep water do you think was there?
You know, it's very hard to say. In order to make these ripples, you can do it in water that would be up to your ankles. Uh-huh. But you can also do it in water that would be up to your neck or way over your head. It's something that takes place right at the bottom. So it's hard to say. One thing that we feel fairly confident about is that this was not an environment that was just soaked in liquid water, you know, under deep amounts of water all the time. The water sort of seems to have sort of come and gone. When you look carefully at some of the chemistry of these rocks, they show the characteristics that you find in water that's in rocks that have been formed by water evaporating away and precipitating salts behind. And so we think that it was sort of transient pools of water that came and went.
Are we talking for tens of square miles, hundreds of square miles, or
hundreds or thousands of square miles? Yeah, if you look at of course, we're extrapolating from a tiny outcrop. I mean, the total area that we've looked at is all contained inside a crater that's about 70 feet in diameter. But as we look down on this region from orbit, we see an area the size of the state of Oklahoma that appears to be covered with these kinds of deposits. So one of the things that we're doing now is we've just crawled out of our little crater, and we're going to head out across the countryside and travel some distance and then see if we can find some other craters and see if the same rock is exposed there. We think that it probably is, and we think that it was fairly extensive.
And you'll just let the rover roll until its batteries run out?
Well, the batteries are actually recharged every night, or every day, rather, using the solar energy from the sun. And so we will continue to operate the rover as long as it lasts. Gradually what will happen is the solar arrays will get covered with dust, and sooner or later they won't be able to recharge the batteries. But we think that's going to take a while.
And we had a question here about that. We were thinking, why is there no little windshield wiper?
Yeah. Everybody asks that. We looked at so many different things. We looked at windshield wipers. We looked at little compressed gas doodads that would kind of puff the stuff off. I mean, we looked at all kinds of stuff. The problem is all of the different gizmos that we looked at that could conceivably clean off the solar arrays were big, heavy, mechanically complicated. For example, a windshield wiper that would be big enough to cover up to clean off the solar arrays would be as big and as heavy as the entire arm on this vehicle. Wow. And, you know, if you want to include that, you got to take something off. So after looking at a whole bunch of different ways of doing it, we chose a very simple, elegant, brute force way of addressing the problem. We made the solar arrays bigger than they needed to be. We just made them big. And sometimes the simple solution is the best one.
Not a little dust cloth or anything. No, okay. Well, as I said, you know, we will clean our windshields off, you know. We think of that, and you obviously thought of it also.
It's a natural question to ask, and we thought about it real hard. Making them big was the best solution.
As you head out to the plane here, is there one object in particular you're going to go for, or are you just going to keep going until you see something of interest?
Well, of course, we can look down from orbit and tell where the things of interest are. And the thing that has caught our eye, has really caught our eye, is a big crater. It's 150 yards in diameter, a great big thing, that we've identified about a half a mile to the east. We've nicknamed it Endurance Crater, and we're going to make our way towards that. We think that because it's a great big deep hole in the ground, it has excavated much farther into this stack of layered deposits. And for geologists, what that means is you can look deeper into the Martian past. The stack of rocks is a record, and the thicker the stack is, the more time is represented.
And how long will it take to get there?
I'm guessing from where we are right now, it's probably going to take 3 or 4 weeks, something like that. I mean, if we just pointed at the crater and put the pedal to the metal and just went as fast as we could, we could probably be there in something close to a week. But we just crawled out onto these planes. We've never really seen these planes before. We've gotten out onto them. The planes is what characterizes most of this region. So we're going to take our time and study it very carefully. We're not going to just sort of blast across them as fast as we can go without taking a look, because there might be something interesting up there.
Now, we talked so much about the success of the opportunity, we've almost, you haven't forgotten.
No, I haven't.
A lot of people have almost forgotten there's another rover there, the Spirit, on the other side of the planet. Any news about any discoveries on that one to report?
Spirit's been really busy. The goal at the Spirit site has been to see if this huge crater that it's in, Gusev Crater, was once filled with a lake. And there's a big dried up riverbed flowing into it, so we think it's pretty likely that it was. But what we're finding is lots of volcanic rocks, which probably means that some other process, most likely a volcanic eruption, has kind of buried some of the lake sediments since we got there. So what we've been doing with Spirit is visiting different places that might have exposures of other kinds of materials. The first place we went was this big crater that we've nicknamed Bonneville. Pulled up to the rim of that, saw a lot more volcanic rocks. But off in the distance, and this is the really attractive thing, there's this formation called the Columbia Hills. It's named after the crew of the Columbia shuttle. Mm-hmm. And it's about a mile and a half away, something like that, off to the east. And it really looks like it's made of a material different from what we've been driving around on. So the Spirit rover is now facing a real challenge, a very long traverse over these plains to the base of the Columbia Hills.
And it's headed that way?
Yeah.
All right. Yep. And so it's going to take a while to get there.
It could take like 3 months. Yeah, it's going to take a while.
Wow, I hope it has some reading to take with it.
Well, it's going to be pretty busy. I don't think it's going to get bored.
All right, Steve, thank you very much for joining us, and we'll check back with you.
All right, good
talking to you. See how things go. Steve Squires, who is in SSX, he's actually the professor of astronomy at Cornell University and a principal investigator for the science payload at NASA's Mars Exploration Rover mission, as they call it.